that kind of day. Right?
It's that kind of day. That's where we're going to keep it fast and loose. And I'm trying to get my stupid screen to turn on because the topic we're going to talk about today, I'm so excited about. I feel like I'm probably too excited, and it shows that I'm not focusing on anything in my life.
Well, are we podcasting?
I got to ask. Podcasting.
We don't know. We are trying to podcast right now, but I tell you what, go to our socials, follow us on there. You probably already are. Make sure that you're rate, reviewing, and subscribing our podcast, and go to imomsohard.com and get your tickets. There, that's all the business, right?
Yeah, thanks for doing all the hard stuff, Jenny, while I'm still figuring out tech on my side, which will be the story of my life. I know I'm going to be that person that calls my kids and I'm like, you know what? I don't think it's too much to ask for you just to help me put my telly on, to put my screen on, which reminds me what we're going to talk about. Okay, guys, we're going to talk about Love is Blind UK. I know you're like, oh crap, I'm going to have to not listen to this episode because I didn't watch it. You can absolutely listen to us tell you why you should watch it. And I also look yellow, and it's because I don't have any ring lights and I've given zero F's about life in general.
I think if you watch the first episode of Love is Blind, you'll pretty much know what happens. Like it's pretty accurate. Like you think is going to happen kind of happens.
Okay. So let's go back. If you don't know what Love is Blind is, Jesus,
then you evidently
productive.
Yeah. You didn't have Netflix during the pandemic. I'll tell you that. Cause
I was late to the uptick because I don't like reality shows, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not going to watch this. And then I had a couple friends text me and they were like, you have to watch this. This is going to be your jam. And I was like, why is somebody saying that to me? And then I watched one of the full seasons of the US one, but my complaint, and this is going to sound so mean, but I was kind of like, I don't think anybody's that hot. Like, I'm not really in, like, it kind of is better. Okay, so the experiment, if you've not seen Love is Blind, the experiment is you get these couples that are all single, or these people that are all single, and they go to these pods, and they have these conversations with people behind a wall. So you can't see who it is you're talking to. And the whole idea is, like, if you have these conversations and you have, like, a flirtation or an attraction through the wall, when you eventually get to see each other and it's still there, maybe love is blind. But sometimes they see the other person and they're like, you don't look like Megan Fox at all.
I know. Can I say that I don't know why, but it really rubs me. They always call it on the show the experiment or like what. And I kind of like, I don't know why I hate that word. It makes it sound like so scientific or something. It's sort of like,
I know. I think that's just them like finding a way to have the two hosts come in and explain it. Like,
yeah,
it's just like, we're going to tell you what this experiment is. And then we're never going to mention it again until the last episode, which is, do they decide to get married?
Yeah.
So it's crazy. It goes from these pods where they're in the pods. It's hard to tell how much time they've had in the pods. I think it's actually a couple weeks.
Yes. Okay. Well, on TikTok today, I watched our hot flash last week, the funeral director, Freddie. Oh. So hot, ladies. He is shirtless for half the series. But I watched him on TikTok, and he was saying how it's like 3 weeks. And he goes, for a lot of it, you're just sitting in these lounge that like the dudes have a totally separate life than the girls do. The girls are all together in like a lounge and sleeping quarters. And then they go into, they call them like these pods that are like soundproof and stuff. So you can't see each other. There's no way to cheat it. And then like the guys are coming back into the lounge going, I just had a date with, you know, Mary. And the other one's like, I had a date with Mary. I love her. And they like have to work out this dynamic. So he said, it's really weird. He said, it's the most boring thing you've ever done. And all you have to do is think about that person that you really liked. Like if you had a good, like quote unquote date with them, then you have just an entire day. You don't have a phone. You have no contact to the outside world. There's no way for you to find out any information about this person. And like, you're just bored. You're just sitting in this room.
Okay, but I like those numbers because that means like if I'm the only thing they got going, my odds are pretty good.
It's true. And I guess they want, are they just trying to get six couples out of it? I'm a little like foggy of how many start it. You know what I mean? Because they focus in on the meaty ones like kind of right away.
Well, the thing I do like is in episodes past or in seasons past, there have been some unexpected people that get together. And I think that's what's really magical about it. Like two people that would probably never find themselves in the same ether, find themselves, enjoy each other. And they're like, fuck it, let's get married. And then it works. Like there are like two different couples I can think of that are still together today. They just, when you put them together, they made perfect sense, but the world would have never put them together in a normal situation. So that's what I think is kind of exciting. And the other thing I love is I love watching how people sabotage themselves. Like,
oh my God,
that's my favorite thing. I'm like, ooh, as my son would say, based on his, reproduction class that he has to take, which also goes into relationships, there's some red flag behavior.
Oh, and totally.
I really have to say the American Love is Blind to me was just nothing but red flags. It was, if it worked, it was because people let down their guard and decided to love anyway. But for the most part, it was people getting in the way of themselves. But the UK Love is Blind, I felt they were like such good communicators and there was real growth happening. And then when it was clear that there was red flag behavior, it was entirely clear.
Yeah. So my husband and I were wondering about that. I was like, why is it that like the people on the UK version seem like so much smarter and so much more honest? And Britt was like, oh, I think European people are just smarter. Like they value like education, communication more or something.
Had I had those communication skills, here's the other thing I like about Love is Blind UK. They're all in their 30s. So you don't get dumbass behavior from a 20-year-old when you're supposed to be a dumbass when you're in your 20s. You're supposed to say dumb shit and do dumb stuff and learn about yourself and work out the kinks. But at 32, you're kind of like that. You're like definitely ready to commit and definitely ready to have another part of your life open up. Otherwise, we've just got another damn Peter Pan on our hands.
Well, that's what I wonder is if it was more like the producing side that made it so different because
or casting.
That's what I mean. Is they screened them better and just made sure that they were like, because it seemed like for the most part, with a couple of exceptions, like everybody really wanted like a relationship, like they wanted it to work out. Yes. I also think it's really like everybody's on their best behavior when they're on the dates, which is totally so true to life. But also when they see each other, you know, hands down, which of those fuckers is going to be like, there wasn't a real, I didn't feel like a real connection. Meaning like, okay, you only like, it's love is never going to be blind for you. You're always going to be looking for like a hot person.
Okay. If I'm going to be totally honest though, that it would matter to me. There would be no way, no matter, especially I'm thinking like pre-marriage. Now I'd be like, give me somebody that doesn't snore or have an attitude about everything that I say. And I'd probably be like, you seem fine. But at 28, when I'm like, I'm in my peak, I'm in my prime, I'm looking for a good time, I would have 100% fallen for somebody behind those walls, had amazing conversations. And then I know for a fact that wall would have lifted. And if he wouldn't have been like in my head attractive, it would have gone away.
But
I guess that makes me a little shallow, but I'm just.
No.
You're like, no. I mean, yes.
No, there was one guy that I was like, yeah, he was a little picky. He bothered me. And then then he ended up not being that way. But so.
Do we want to talk people of the cast? I'm trying to get my.
Yeah, let me say this.
Let's.
They not only are they well cast and that they were serious, they wanted a relationship and that they were honest and like pretty good at representing themselves for the most part, like 95% that way. None of them were ugly. I mean, all of them were pretty attractive. And I think they're like throwing everybody a bone so that you'd, but it's not like, it would be very different if like, it really was just a cross section of the population. And you got people in there that had like no haircuts and dandruff. And you
know, but those
like,
people, I sort of feel like if you did have that person, how many of those people do we really know that are like complete disheveled messes and then super confident and good at dating? Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like there's
That's
an expectation
true.
From both sides that like there's this famous, he kind of came out in the, you'll know his name. He kind of came out in the like early 2000s. And he was this dude that like gave guys advice on how to find a girlfriend. And it was like simple things like make sure your fingernails are cut, make sure your hair is combed, you have a nice haircut, buy 3 shirts with collars on them, go buy a new pair of jeans that are today's cut, get like, and this book was like a huge success because I think men felt like it was definitely when the time when metrosexual became like a word, when we started to see men like primp more than women sometimes. But I do think like, I agree with you though, there was nobody that was boring either. There was no one that had a dull personality. That is to me also a sign of somebody who has confidence is like, maybe you're not the most attractive dude, but if you're passionate about something you love to do, or you have direction, or you have purpose, very, very sexy. But if at a glance, my downstairs isn't given a little bit of a high five, I feel like I'd be like, you're just going to be a great friend.
I can see though, like starting out like not attracted and then
yes,
getting attracted, but also like, I think getting to know somebody makes them really attractive. So I think once you get over that initial shock of being like, I'm a 5'1" woman and I'm a foot taller than you or whatever. Like, I mean, that maybe you'd be,
maybe,
you
maybe
know what I mean?
That's the part that would be the experiment for me. It would not be connecting with somebody behind a closed door because I could fantasize whoever they are. Right.
Right.
It would be when I see them, especially because I'm thinking of my very like immature self when I was very young and like base everything on, is this guy hot enough that he'll make my friends jealous? Like that kind of, you know what I mean? Because at one point or another, that was really important. And I think it was because I was a real ugly duckling for a while. So I was like, look at me pulling this hot ass. Like,
that's hilarious.
And I just want everybody to see me with him. And then he can treat me really badly. And then I don't
like,
ask any questions.
I'm going to pick you up. I want you to look at your best. I want you to put on one of those collared shirts. You better have
your... Don't tell any of your stories about CrossFit either. It's embarrassing.
Oh, God. But do CrossFit. Just take your shirt off
CrossFit.
And randomly do CrossFit at this
And don't
party
look at anybody
mind.
Except me. But don't look at me too much. But don't look at anybody else. Don't
so,
talk, but don't
Kristen,
not
you're
talk.
So easy to date. Oh my God. Am I crying right now?
Okay, hold on. I'm looking up. I have to do 14 different computers because that's where we're at in our life. Here's the other thing.
Oh my God.
I think we have found the hottest guy on the planet. And it's not the funeral director.
Yeah. No, I've really been a fan of this guy. Because he's the kind of attractive that I really like, which is
it's
like
the kind of attractive we all like, Jen. Are you kidding me? Did you see his back? Fuck
well,
yes.
No,
it
I
is.
Mean that part of it, but also he's like he's kind of rough around the edges. Like the entire time he needed a fresh, like he needed a haircut. Like he kind of needed to freshen it up. And I feel like
that guy shaves at 8 a.m. and needs to shave again at 10 a.m. That's
oh
a guy
God.
I can understand.
He's like Gaston, you guys. Okay, let's go through. Chris and I ended up, of course, this being our favorite couple. We hadn't discussed it before. Okay.
I don't want anybody to tell me if there's the Love is Blind reunion is coming out. I don't want anybody to tell me
the
anything. 26th. So I'm trying not to get.
So what? That's going to be tomorrow. Okay, so watch it. Okay, Sabrina and Steven.
Okay, you've got the people. So, okay.
Sabrina and
Steven.
Oh my God.
I have a lot of thoughts about
them.
Irish.
Yes.
And he's like, our famous. He's our Gaston. I knew from the jump they were in love.
You did?
Yes, but you want to know what I hope?
What?
That we go to the reunion and she's pregnant. That's what I hope.
They've
been together a year. They've been together a year at this point. So tomorrow when they get together, so she's this beautiful Irish girl from Belfast. And she's just the way she talks. But it is, God, if there's nothing you watch, it is to watch him look at her when he is giving, when he is listening to her on that altar, and when he is saying his words to her. The whole entire series, you do not see his face look like this. And it was not fear. It was like, you are my person. If they don't make it, I quit.
I know. I honestly, this is why. This was my theory about it. Okay. And here's how I break them down as like people. So okay. she's from
I got the list.
Belfast, which
yeah. Northern Ireland
is a tough city.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So I think she's seen some shit. I think she's like, you know, she had like a lot of piercings and things. She's a little punk rock.
Yeah.
A little, and kind of had some edges up in the beginning. And I don't think she pictured him when she was picturing her perfect man. And I don't think he pictured her when he was picturing perfect either. Although I do think he probably had a lot more like was a little more open-minded about it.
Yeah.
Like in the beginning, they were a little like both kind of guarded emotionally and like standoffish. But I think, okay, so they said yes. They got married.
Spoilers.
And I said to Britt, because they were like, what, the fourth one in the in the weddings? I go, they're the only ones who didn't have complaints constantly about the other one. And you could tell that they were very different, but the way that they like talked about their differences, because they had to like decide.
I literally am going to use it.
Continent they had to live on.
I'm going to use it as game tape. I'm going to show it to my husband and I'm going to go, this is what she goes. I don't know if I want to have children. I think she said she's 38 and she's like, I don't even know if I can have them because I am 38. There wasn't like this thing that I feel like I see more often, which is, I'm really sorry. She was like, look, man, this is where I'm at. I'm 38. Yeah. I don't have kids. I don't know if that's what I want. He, in his face behind the wall, you can see him steal because he knows he does want children. So they have a conversation. She's like, I'm open to the idea of adoption. I'm open to the idea of children. I just wasn't sure. And in a minute, they did more than most people do in 2 years.
So true. I mean, even with the like deciding where they were going to live, because their families lived in the towns where they were from, they said, we're just going to have to see which one makes more sense for the both of us. Like,
yeah.
they weren't like strategizing how to fuck the other one over, which is so many of them.
Or thinking about, well, you've got to come to me because my life is more important than your life. They were like, we're going to make it work. And when they met the friends, which is my favorite, they meet the Sam's friend. So he lives in London. She lives in Belfast. So they're going to meet his friends, his blokes. And the friends literally don't know what's going on. And they look like if you were drawing a cartoon of English, British people, they're like, oh, thank you've gone mad. And the one friend was like, I don't like any of this. And then Sam goes, have you ever known me to be someone who is impulsive or somebody who would do something like this? So then it must matter to me. She must matter to me. And like, she like sat there and was so graceful. I was like, y'all, this is why England doesn't have a lot of like reality television. Cause y'all don't get, you're too reasonable.
Yeah. But all those guys all had the exact same navy blue, like polo shirt on as though they just came from a pickup rugby game or something.
No, they all heard from that guy. You got to have three collared shirts and a pair of tennies that aren't disgusting. I
mean, they were the same guy with different facial hair and like one had a more elongated face than the other, but they were the same dudes and they were just like, they were dudes.
Like, yeah, they all look like the cast of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Dudes. But that guy, he was so, the part of the reason he was so hot, you know, he's super physically fit. She was hot as could be too. They both were adorable. But I told Britt, I was like, they look like a couple that's either going to A, open a pub together.
Like just bang all the time.
All the time. Or it's like she's going to like go to art school and he's going to not want to not be included. So he's going to take up like carpentry or something and make her furniture and shit.
I think he makes a ton of dough. I think they're going to be fine.
What does he do?
I don't know. I don't care. He can just walk away from me. Literally him walking down the aisle, the camera on his back. I was like, that's the sexiest back I've ever seen in my life. And all he wants to do is wear Speedos because he wants to get a full tan. Any man who looks like that, who also embraces a Speedo.
And he
yes,
kept,
sir.
He kept calling them his budgie smugglers. And he was doing it to be funny and also because he knew he looked hot as fire.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so let's talk about, okay, so Freddie and Catherine.
And Kat. So many spoilers, you guys.
Okay, I feel first. Like they're the ones that I want to talk about the most, quite frankly, because, so Freddie's the super, super ripped, hot, has never been out of a small town in Ireland, hot Freddie.
Yes.
Who's a funeral director. Is he Irish or is he English?
He's English.
He's English. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't place his accent. It is so thick. It's wonderful.
He's like northeast
good God.
Of London.
And the like world an hour from fell London. In love with him. Now, Catherine is, so they're behind the wall. Freddie is literally so hot. And Catherine is also so beautiful. But they don't know that about each other. But I could tell that Freddie, of all of them, probably seemed a little bit boring. Because he is soft-spoken. And he's a funeral director. I'm never going to say director. Director. And she ruffles her nose. And she's like, and he's like, don't worry. I'm not going to embalm you. And I would have been like, hey, guy, you know what I just did? I took off my pants.
Overall, I have so much to say. I don't know where to start.
Yep.
I will say about her that she's very immature. She will be fine. She'll be totally fine in life because she did the right thing a lot of the time. Like, she knew what the right thing to do was. But she has, like, a lot of, like, insecurity and self-work that she needs to do.
I was not a fan. And the thing I wasn't a fan about was she seemed petty and she seemed like a fire starter. She seemed like the kind of girl that would exhaust the person who's trying to love her.
Yes.
And like, if you're the mother of that boy or you're the, like, it is, she's like Bad News Bears. I don't know how to put it. Like, the fact that she, like, it was going so well and she had to fuck it up. She had to put something in there that would just like kind of light it ablaze because she wasn't getting enough rumblings from him or he was starting to irritate her. So she starts a fire by saying, have you ever cheated? And he says, yes. It was when he was so young and she's like, once a cheater, always a cheater.
Oh, would you like, never say to somebody.
Save your fucking breath,
all
sister.
Right. You guys, she's so insecure. So when she saw him for the first time, all she could do was giggle because he's so hot. When she saw him like in his Speedo and stuff, we couldn't believe this was a real human being that is this hot and out living in the world. So I get it. She also super beautiful, but you could start to see in her brain, how was she going to keep and control this hot guy? So the first thing that came to her when she gets this layup, he's going to be honest and tells her that he cheated. She's going to go,
she's got leverage.
I'm better than you in this way. And she just was going to hold it. And then, oh my God, when she flirts with that super gross dude,
Sam, the dude that like,
oh my
that
God,
bro, literally somebody needs to take that guy aside and go, we need to work on you a little bit. I've never seen like
somebody
someone so that thing that we're all scared of as girls when we're like single and you're out there like love bombing you and then like you're confused and it's mixed messages, but his eyeballs are a wondering, but he's saying, hey, I'm into you. He's looking around. It's the scariest version of a dude when you're a single girl is like that guy that like is saying one thing and doing another. It's confusing. It's awful. He's bad. I was glad.
He's alone. they didn't follow up with him very much.
Because he was originally engaged to Nicole, who we love, but that's not who she ends up with.
I have to say about Sam.
Freddie.
No, Sam.
Freddie and Catherine. Oh, Sam, the hot one.
The bad guy, Sam.
The bad guy. Yeah, we'll just call him the bad guy. Every bad season guy. Has a villain.
Okay, so I'm going to try to do an impression of how he has conversations with people.
Please.
Because it is the most surreal thing I've ever heard. Kristen, yes. I love you. I think you could do for me all the things that I want a person to do. I think that you would serve what I want in life. Like, none of it was like,
I just need you to love me. I need to know that you love me. I mean, I like all the time.
All I want is to be loved, and I think you are fine.
Then he looks, so originally he asked Nicole, and he plays a good game. She's definitely, and Nicole is A+.
I can't believe she fell for it, because she was the first one to go, I don't feel right about everything that you're saying. Like, she was the one. She'd been divorced, 100%. And she was the first one to say, which I think about what you're saying that doesn't feel right.
And then he goes, I think I love you. And you can see it on her face.
Bing, ding, 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 ding.
No, you better fucking know you love me. Don't you think you love me? Like, it better be you love me. You better have the balls to say it like now, because obviously we're in front of each other and you just gave me a wedding ring. I think I love you. Don't say it then. Don't say it. Don't say a version of it unless you're ready to say all of it. Weird game, weird circumstances. But she had a second. Nicole had a second person that she was talking to.
Who she should have been with to begin with.
But Benaiah didn't show his strength until. Yep.
Good lesson, dudes. If you care about a chick, you say it. Because especially if she's got options, she will exercise those options.
And you see it in this series. You see a man go, I should have been more forthright. And so he is. He's like, I don't like Sam. I think he's out for the wrong reasons.
Oh,
and she's like confused. And it's always like in The Bachelor, like the person that reports is always the one to go home.
Hell yeah.
And I think he did the right thing. And he was broken apart by him saying goodbye to her. And then she goes, I made a mistake. I want Benaiah. And guess what? They're married. Spoiler.
Yes. Okay. So I have to ask you about this.
Yeah.
So what happens in the show is that Benaiah hears Sam talking about her. What's her name again?
Her name is Nicole.
Nicole. And basically saying, I don't think I'm attracted to her. Like, I don't think when I meet her. And he also says, because I want like this type of woman that looks a certain way, like hot, basically. And neither one of these guys has seen this girl, but we have seen her.
And so she's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous. But she's a woman. And I wonder what it was that Benaiah said to her. Because he was like, I need to let her know that he's not interested in her for the right reasons. Like, did he say to her, look, he's back talking about who he thinks is hotter?
I think he was talking about that he's on the show to gain more fame and attention. And I mean, imagine if those guys have hours and hours and hours of downtime.
What they know.
They know of each other. And that's why, like, I buy when they really want to see each other and they want to hang out, because they're all so bored and they're like happy to have each other. But Benaiah, his anger towards Sam was palpable. And I was like, go get her, man. Go get her.
He would have gotten an ass kicking had it not been this like setup show thing. Because
meanwhile, Benaiah's this long and lean, long haired yogi looking guy who I was sort of like, oh, great. Are you going to be like a deadbeat?
He's such like this perfect hippie, you guys. Like, if you described a guy with a bun doing yoga, it would be Benaiah. But he was like, he's like a man's man in terms of like
a little bit.
He was like, all the good masculinity that you can be, he had. And like, also what I loved is that he loved her so much that he didn't care how he looked on that show. He didn't care if he came back and said, okay, you picked me second, but guess what? I still love you. Because that's a hard pill to swallow. That's like a big hit to your ego, and it didn't destroy things for him.
Also, you can tell the producers set them all up at a bar, and then they bring in Sam. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
And Benaiah is visibly shaken, and Nicole is steady, and she looks at him, and she's like, you have nothing to worry about. You could tell she's like working outside of the producers and she's like, I'm going to give him his ring back. I'm going to give him this thing back. And then it's done. And she literally walked over and she was like, Sam, I want to give you this. I want to give you this. And Sam's trying to like make his way back in because it's like, I get more screen time. Like he literally got the least thing that he wanted, which was to be on camera less. And she just was cool. And then she went back and she hugged her man and oh my God, the love they have for each other. I am in.
Yeah. I never really had a doubt about whether they were going to get married. Were there any couples that like surprised you? Oh yeah. There's one that made me sad.
Say it.
Maria and Tom.
I agree.
I don't know what happened to Tom, but somebody hurt Tom or something. I sort of feel like, I don't know, this is me maybe interjecting my own personal history, but it felt like Tom was a little bit older. He hadn't been married. I could see him like being like a part of a coke scene maybe. He kind of had like a dark history, it felt like. But he was so emotionally attuned.
They were very good together. Maria is Muslim, and I think she had this very strong connection to her family. And the thing that ended up breaking them apart, or that he felt like he couldn't manage, was the idea of how they would raise their kids, because there's cultural traditions that he just plain and simple did not agree with. And those are tough. Those are tough situations to be in. My husband and I are both Catholic. We're both, you know, he's Irish, I'm Dutch, Czech, whatever. Like everything lines up and it's still freaking hard. So
yeah,
there were these cultural differences that I think for him were a big thing. And I think it's it's the right thing to do to not just say yes and try to figure out it down the road, because those are things that probably for her are not going to shift.
Well,
and
yeah,
for him are not going to shift.
It was interesting too, because when you say that, I think they gave that equal weight to the money part. And I was like, that money thing seems very lame to me, because in every relationship you have to like navigate the money of things, you know?
And yeah, he's like, I owe my dealer for the eight ball I got last night.
I mean,
well, I think he's a snob at the end of the day. I think he's a bit of a snob.
Yeah, because he looked down on her job, being a makeup artist.
And I'm like, do you know how much money they make you?
I don't think he does. I promise you
it's a lot.
Yeah.
And she was awesome. I still hope, like in the reunion, I hope that like he steps away and he realizes he can't be without her, and like they try to make things work, but who knows?
Britt thinks it's the other one. He thinks that maybe he in that bar really feels like he made the wrong decision. You know, the blonde girl who was lovely. There was this blonde. She was really sweet. She'd lost like 90 pounds, had always been like one of the guys or whatever, and didn't like.
Oh, I don't remember that part. That's so interesting.
Yeah. The little blonde that he had to decide between, you could just tell she had never like really been adored. And was scared a little bit. And the other girl was a lot more like adoring. And I think he liked that. But meeting her in person, I think maybe he was like, oh, maybe she's the one I should have gone with.
Well, I root for them because I really liked Maria and I really liked him. But I really liked her and I really liked them together. When a couple really likes each other, it's nice to be around that.
Yes.
Ask anybody that's around me and my husband. It's nothing but public displays of affection. And we get along in public. It's the small things that make me insane. Don't get me started.
I think my husband and I almost never show public. I know he never shows public affection. But I probably show the same public affection to him that I show to everyone. And that's probably really weird for him.
But he's like outwardly like adoring of you. Whereas my husband was like, did I come with somebody? I'm like, yeah, you married her. But we're equally salty with
Kristen
each other.
Here again.
He's why like, by me?
Well, she was mad because I didn't wear my collared shirt or fingernails.
He has, he knows to wear a collared shirt. I ask very little, but he wears the same one like 8 times in a row because he thinks if it gets washed and then he can wear it again. I'm like, the world doesn't know you washed it. Can you just give him a day of the week?
Is it a Houston Astros shirt?
Yes.
With like blue on top? Yeah.
Yes. He wears it all the time. If you can call the shirt, that shirt is worn too much. And I am an overwearer of shirts. So I'm just saying this is an extreme. I am not nitpicking. I'm just saying we have a fucking dresser of shirts. Why does it have to be the same fucking shirt in every goddamn picture?
I don't know, but did you see that experiment at this high school? This bunch of moms got together for, like, senior moms. They got together and they were like, we're going to prove that husbands do not dress themselves for events. So they all went out and bought the same lavender polo shirt for their husbands. And they took video at the graduation of the guys walking in and seeing each other in the
field.
It was like 40 of them. Like, God damn it. And you know that's like 100% compliance too. There was not one dude that was like, I think I'd wear this other shirt instead. They were like, oh, new shirt you want me to wear? Okay, great.
They gave it zero thought. They're like, whatever you say, I'll do. Back to Love is Blind UK. Oh, yeah. The other interesting, I felt this was a very interesting couple. Wait a minute. Who's Bobby and Jasmine? Do we know them?
Bobby and Jasmine. Hold on.
Bobby. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, Jasmine. Okay. Ooh. Bobby and Jasmine. Good.
Look at my double chins, Kristen. You can see this all on YouTube if you want to, you guys. Look at that.
Okay. I have to say, I loved the way Jasmine stuck up for her girls. She's scary as hell, and I think she might kill somebody, but that woman has your back. If she calls you friend, she's not holding back, and she's not. Yes. I liked it.
She's feisty. Her mom is overly feisty, I thought.
Yeah.
But she was too much in that moment. She was way too much in that moment.
On Ollie?
Yeah. So she...
she'd had 14 cocktails. They just shove them full of booze.
Fly them with alcohol. Yeah. But I was like, I felt very uncomfortable for him. I was like, you don't really have a right to talk to him. And then I thought it was interesting that he said he had ADHD and it was really hard for him to process all of that information coming at him at one time. And you could see he was like, I just had to get up and leave. And we thought he was saying like, oh, he's leaving. Like he was done with his woman too. But he was like, no, I just couldn't be in that situation anymore.
Jasmine ends up, spoiler. I mean, I don't know at this point what you don't want spoiled.
This is called the spoiler episode, just so you know.
This is called the spoiler episode.
It's going to be called I Spoil So
Hard. But here's the thing. It's really not a spoiler. You can go back and watch this and literally think about what we're talking about. You're going to see it anyway. There's nothing that's going to unfold. I would watch it again. I probably will watch it again because I think it's they're playing with such manners and they're so upfront that like we're not seeing like red flag behavior until it's very far into the relationship. So then you're like, oh, this is real stuff that's coming up. Like for me, Bobby and Jasmine's a little like comes on strong, but I think she really did love him. And at the end of the day, she's like, I'm going to do what I want to do and not what my mom wants me to do.
Right.
And I loved it.
I felt like they kind of invented a little bit of drama with the mom.
A little bit with them.
Those two just seemed like they were meant to be together.
I agree.
From the beginning. There was never a moment.
And then it's boring. If it's meant to be, you're like, oh, I'm just watching two people really like each other for 12 episodes.
They did get married. I think we should go back and say that that Kat and
Freddie,
he said no. And I think he was so right. They're the best example of, like, it's a little black and white. Like, it's...
Yes.
Well, he also, you know what? He had a brother that had Down syndrome.
Yes.
Who threw every time he's with him, he's sitting holding that boy's hand. Like, he's the most
precious thing.
Grounded, down-to-earth person on the planet, besides being so hot, adding to the fact that he's so hot, you guys.
And he's got a full-time job and a nice house.
Oh, my God. He must, like, play, like, Santa and malls or something, too. Like, what else? He's donated a kidney. Like, what? He's perfect. He's perfect. There's no way he was going to fall for that shit.
I thought it was really interesting when this sister, who's so lovely and just loves him, said, Like, you don't need to change yourself for this person. Who you are is good enough. Like, yeah. I don't want you to back off on your jokes. I don't want you to be a different version of you. You don't seem happy. You yeah. don't seem like yourself. And when a sibling or a close friend says that to you, you better pay attention, because that is one thing I can say about my husband. I am very much me at all times.
Yeah.
And have been since the beginning, because if you remember that guy that I went on a, I don't know, it was like not even a full date. He was just interested in me. Look at your face.
Yep.
And Jen,
I hate
it, sitting next to me, and she goes, "I don't like this guy." And I was like, "Well, I kind of like this guy." She goes, "I don't like this guy."
She thought he was really hot and he was good looking, but I could just tell that she wasn't.
I was being quiet, and
he didn't let her be her.
Yeah. And and that feels terrible. It's so exhausting to just not be with somebody who lets you be you, because you're thinking all the time. So not only do you have high levels of anxiety, you literally have someone who is causing you anxiety. So you live in a bubble. Ugh. And that is, it is the most exhausting feeling to be with someone who doesn't get you. And yes. My mom, I have to say, listen, I knew that my picker was off a little bit after my last relationship, before Colin, I wasn't getting the right kind of guy in my ether, right? Like, they were all this, and I was like, you know what? I need to take a year off. I need to just take a year off from dating, as scary as it is, because I'm in my 30s, and just get myself back to who I really like. And I did the work. I really did. And I was in pain, and you know it, because you were there. Yeah. I was doing all the things I knew how to do to like myself again, because I knew if I liked myself again, then whoever I invited into my world, I was going to like them too. And sure enough, it was like a year to the day, and I had joined a softball team. I had started taking dance class again. I was just trying to do these things that I knew would make me happy eventually when my yeah. heart didn't hurt. And sure enough, when the veil lifted, which was around, I think after like 10 months of real pain, I started to feel like, oh, this is me again. And yeah. then I met Colin, and then like we started to work together at the school. And I was like, oh boy, I really like him. Cause I knew whoever I ended up with at that age, at that point, I didn't have another one in me to like get it wrong. Do you know? I didn't have it to give my heart away again. Cause as you get older, it gets harder.
It's interesting to watch like Love is Blind, because you do interject your own experience totally. Into watching it, which is why you become so invested. It is so crystal clear if somebody is not good or not right or not happy in themselves, what that brings to the relationship. Like, what the way that they talk is so off, the way they handle it is so off. And it's like, that's, I know it's scary to do, to like just start over, but the best decisions I've ever made dating wise have been like, I got to worry about me for a bit and get me like right and better. And then you end up finding somebody who's great, who you, when you weren't even looking. Like, my husband always jokes. He's like, I saw you chasing your dog, like galloping around in stupid boots through dog poop at the dog park, and knew you were the one. Like, because, and all these things that I had dated people that were like, would have made fun of me for, and it really would have gotten to me, or I would have felt like, oh, I need to change that about myself. Like,
yeah,
I mean, even stuff like, oh, I need to straighten my hair. Like, I had dated a guy who was like, you got like weird waves in your hair, you know?
What?
Yeah. And it was just like liking who I was and feeling.
Oh, he would have been like, you have weird kinks in your hair, and I'm talking about the ones on your chin.
No, I needed you to around when I was going through bad dating stuff, because you would have been like, hold on, hold my beer, and I'm yeah. going to go end this for you right now.
Yeah, if you don't want to break up with him, fine, I will. I yeah. will break up with him for you.
She totally. You and anymore. I would have let you. I would have let you.
Yeah, because you get, it's really hard when you've, I'm sure all of those people, and we're getting to see that with Love is Blind UK, when you're over 30, you've had some life. You've had yeah. some relationships. You're bringing some stuff to the table. Like, maybe it's been a while. Maybe it's been, you've been dating too much, or the apps, or whatever it is you're doing that makes things, but this is like real connection. And I, and with Freddie and Catherine, it was very evident to me, like, she wanted to play a game, and he didn't know there was a game being played.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, she goes, he's like, I just don't like the way this feels. Like, yeah. I think it was probably the hardest thing for him to say that. And I'm not saying, I don't think Freddie goes out to a pub or a bar and hits on women or has, like, I don't think he's a saint. I'm just saying, like, she needed to maneuver and control. And he was like, I just don't even know what this feels like. I'm not allowed to be myself.
Yeah.
And he's so sweet about it. He's going to get so much action.
You know what
show.
Else I really thought was nice, because he let her down as nice as he could. Then he goes to her parents like totally. A man and says,
like a man.
And then he went in and talked to her. And you know what I said?
She was such
I just
a
got
snot.
Chills. I go, that's the last time he's ever going to see her. He's done. Like he made it seem like, and she made it like there
the
was
way,
hope
she said
or
yes.
something. She did say yes.
Because yeah. she was a jerk. She wanted to disrupt it. Mm-hmm. And then she couldn't just accept that something was happening that was good. So she's clearly not ready. Like
she's just not ready.
When you're ready, the accepting the fact that you're going to be with this person through thick and thin, it doesn't seem scary. You're just sort of ready. I remember with Colin, for me, feeling like it was very simple. It wasn't complex where yeah. it had been complex for me before. It was very like, I love the way this guy makes me feel. I just want to go have a drink with him in a bar, like all the time.
Yes.
I want to go to movies with him. I want to, like, I definitely want to bang him. I like that he can repair stuff. He's tall.
And
I think you
can, like, when you go into a relationship in the beginning, you can kind of set these rules and be like my husband had dated somebody for a long time that they fought all the time. And like it was, and we even went to a happy hour one time and they were like kicking at each other. And I said to him, I was like, I don't want to live my life this way. I don't like, I will argue with you about a really big thing, but I'm not going to like get up and have these like little nibbles at one another. Like and I'm sure he set rules for me. I'm not saying like I was like the arbiter of how our relationship
right.
goes, but I said, I was like, I won't do this. Like, just so
right.
you know, I won't do this. And like, it made a difference, I think.
Oh, for sure. And I think I remember when I started to date Colin, I was, you know, doing commercials and I was writing, like trying to do stand up and trying to do like, just, I had sort of created that life for myself in that year, you know? And I was like, I told myself, because this is the opposite of what I had before. I was like, you are not going to change who you are for this person. He's going to add to your life. He's not going to change it. He's going to add to it. So you have to say hard things sometimes. Like if I had a big day the next day, I would say to him, hey, you can't stay at my place tonight. I need to get a good night's sleep. I have to be good tomorrow. And I think Colin thought, like, I mean, we were so head over heels, madly in love. You know, I disappeared for like 3 weeks. And you were
like,
is she dead?
I really was like, either she's so bad right now or she's so good right now.
I was ignoring everybody's text messages. I was just so in love and I wasn't sure. I was just, I just knew about him and I was like, gah, gah, gah. And then I was like, but Kristen, if you're going to make this work, you have to put him to the test about you giving you the thing you need. And so I said, I got to be able to, I can't be with you tonight. I got to have my space. Mm-hmm. And he like went home and he was like, he told me later, he's like, I was shocked because like, I was like, she's not really going to make me go home. And she, and then I went to my own apartment and it was quiet and you were fine. And like, you didn't text me a bunch. And I was like, hey, I didn't mean to play it cool, but I guess I played it cool.
Hard to get or something.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Because I just knew that if I didn't stand up for myself and set the tone that like, that would be something that I would do, I would change for him. And I would change myself and then I would be back to square one and all the work that I did would go away.
Okay. I think what you're saying really sums up for me what I learned from this show. Like, again, I hate the word experiment, but like just seeing if it's true, like is love really blind? I really do think that love is blind. It makes me think of, you know, Heather Dubrow. We did her podcast.
Yes.
She's from Real Housewives of Orange County. And she said to us when we were on her podcast that my mom said, be careful about who you fall in love with because you could fall in love with anybody. You need to make sure it makes sense. And so I think that at the end of that show, they prove you could really fall in love with anybody, like sight unseen. That can happen. But then you have to decide if they make sense in your life. Like,
yeah,
no matter how like hot they end up being or like whatever the chemistry is, because, you know, Freddie and Kat were banging like rabbits, you know, but oh, he had God. To say, I kind of want to be happy. Like, I don't want to be nitpicked every day. And I don't want to like.
That's drama that you reserve for your 20s. In your 30s, you deserve to be with someone that gets you and you get them. Yes. And it's a whole nother level of, and if you're still dealing with all those little things, you got work to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And on that note, just as I think a good way to wrap it up is, I think Demi, who was with Ollie.
Yes.
She was a very interesting person to watch because she's a she's got this like wonderful gravelly voice.
Yeah.
She's Black. He's Black. Interestingly enough, I think if I remember right, wasn't one parent from each from Jamaica or somewhere, or do I have that wrong? Is that,
her mom,
I think that's, Nicole's mom.
White and her
and dad
was from like Trinidad or something. Yeah.
Okay. Either way, they have a lot, obviously, in common culturally, like they get each other and like the friends all like him and whatever. But she is a little bit fuller figured and he is a like workout vegan like yeah. dude. But yet they're making it work. Like I can see she really loves him and he really starts to love her. But you're always waiting for him to say, like, I don't want to be with you because you're not this like gym queen, right?
He said he loved how round she was and stuff.
And I'm, you know, I think from my own shit, I'm like, oh, here it is. He's not going to be able to love her because he's too vain. But then she does this thing where she says no.
Yeah.
And what I think was really gave me goosebumps is she looked so good. And you could tell she'd been like paying attention to herself. And she was kind of like, thank you because you made me love myself.
Yes.
But I got to choose myself. It gives me goosebumps. I was like, I'm like, the world is her oyster. She is wonderful and warm and kind. And she's going to be fine. And he's going to be fine.
Even her friend said, like, she's always one of the dudes, which he was worried then that maybe that meant that she wasn't like attractive or whatever.
And she's very attractive, but she didn't know that about herself. And that's the difference.
I think she went into that relationship thinking, I'm going to take what I can get. And then when he really did love and adore her, she was like, okay, so that's possible. And maybe the part where I really love you is possible too.
Right.
Like,
right.
And so that's why she said no, but oh my God, I can't believe I'm so emotionally invested in this show.
I'm telling you, how many times have I talked about reality TV?
Just to tell me it's stupid.
Just to tell you, to judge you and to tell you to stop watching it. And that I hate everybody. If you dare follow one more goddamn housewife, I'm going to lose my mind.
That's all that comes up.
I made her get her own damn personal account. I was like, please don't. I mean, it's all I've got. There's a couple on this thing that I'm like, I'm going to unfollow them, but she'll get
mad. I
got
to tell you, our TikTok sell workout videos right now. And I'm like, Kristen, this does not supplant working out. She just likes to see hot people sweat. I know what this is.
Nope. It's me. It's me wish fulfillment. I'm gonna maybe.
Me too. I'm gonna talk about it a lot. But do you have a hot flash or you? Let's see.
Oh well, we did it. It was my hot flash was Sam or Steven from Love Is Blind.
Oh God, he's so hot.
That
you guys.
Is not the last thing. I think he's perfect.
Watch it. Send us messages. Tell us what other shows you're watching and we need to watch too.
The reunion is, so this will be in a week's time.
So tomorrow.
And all of it's streaming. So like you can binge that shit, man. Yeah, binge it.
It's worth it. It's totally worth it.
I can't stop talking about it because I have no life.
I think we podcasted.
I think we did.